Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
All right, well, markets certainly have cooled down a little bit in August. What started out as a pretty hot month overall didn't work so well for the stock market. We saw the Dow, all the major index off this week, Dow off 2.2%. Still up about 4.1% year-to-date. S&P 500 off 2.1%, still up over 13%. NASDAQ down 2.6%. MSCI International EAFE Index down 2.8%. The 10-year Treasury up a little bit, 0.1% overall year-to-date, up 0.4%. Oil suffered a little bit this week, down 3.1% to close at 80.63 a barrel year-to-date, up about a half a percent. And bonds overall down this week about a half a percent year to date, up around 0.2%. So all this activity, this cool down, if you will, these last 3 weeks with markets being down consistently, each of the following past three, got me a question to our question line. Remember, if you have a question, do what John did. This is John in Sebastopol. John asked me, hey, Sandman, near term, how much higher can the S&P 500 go? Well, I appreciate the question because it's been going down. But anyway, John, let's answer your question. What's going on here? Well, this is how you should probably rephrase the question or think about the question. We've had rising bond yields, and rising bond yields are, frankly, just a headwind, like the hurricane coming up through Mexico right now, about to hit Southern California. It's a headwind on stocks, plain and simple. And the increase in the 10-year Treasury has become that force. So I'd like you to understand why this is happening. And so I'm going to spend some time this morning talking about why rising yields, especially on Treasuries, are going to be an increasing headwind on stocks, and why this cool down that we've seen so far in August may not be over. So to illustrate this point, I'm going to bring up something called the equity risk premium. Please write that down, ERP. We call this the equity risk premium. Now, the equity risk premium is a measure of longer-term values for stocks in comparison to other assets. And in this case, we are talking about treasuries. ERP is a fancy term for the following: the risk versus the return setup in stocks compared to treasuries in this case. Stocks right now, even though they're down a little bit the last few weeks, are historically riskier and more volatile than bonds. So the equity risk premium is the additional return or reward, if you think about it that way, you would expect when you invest in stocks instead of buying a treasury, because you're taking on excess risk. So you look for higher return, of course. Well, in recent years, the consensus for the ERP and what is called fair ERP was 4%. Let me explain that. Getting a 4% reward over treasuries would compensate you for that extra risk you were taking in stocks. So let's take a look at the current ERP and see where it is in comparison with that fair 4%. Here's how you calculate it. First, you calculate the forward-looking S&P 500 price-to-earnings ratio, which right now, after the 43.70 close we just saw, is sitting a little bit above 18%. And what that means is that you've got the average price per share of the stocks for the S&P 500 for 2024 looking to be $240 a share. Second, you take the inverse of that number. So we're going to divide that 1 divided by the 18 to come up with a return of, say, 5%. That number is the return the market is expecting from stocks over the next year. This is called the earnings yield of the S&P 500. Third, to get the ERP, I want you to subtract the current 10-year yield because we want additional return beyond investing in treasuries over the next year. So the current yield, as we just mentioned, on the 10-year treasury is 4.25%. So if you do some quick math there, that's a little better than 1%. And 1% is a very, very low number, and obviously well below the 4% historical I just referred to. And so to put this in plain English, John, again, in Sebastopol, I'm trying to answer your question here. To put this in plain English, with the 10-year yield at 4.25%, stock investors are only capturing about 1% additional return for taking all that extra risk in the S&P 500. And given how volatile stocks have been over the past 18 months, that's not a lot of additional reward for the increase in risk that you're experiencing, especially right now. So let's take this back to rising yields, because as we've been seeing this last week and a half, rates have been rising, particularly on the shorter end of the curve here. The higher the yield on the 10-year treasury, the lower, as we just demonstrated, the ERP. So the only way that changes is if the value on the stock market goes down. So that's why rising yields are a problem for stocks, because investors will rotate, and they are rotating, out of riskier stocks and into less risky bonds to capture that 5% return. Now, only after stocks drop, and I don't think they've dropped enough yet, and they trade at a better valuation, do you see the inverse become, again, more attractive, where they would be getting out of bonds going back into stocks. So back to regarding the 4% benchmark, it's fair to say that the current environment of high interest rates and inflation is not like the 2015 to 2019 period, John, because it's likely that a fair value ERP is below that number. But that said, it's definitely higher than 1%. So going forward, if treasury yields gradually come down, either via the Fed saying rate hikes are over or inflation continues to moderate, then the ERP will rise and the current headwind that's on stocks right now will start to ease, making the market react more like it did as we saw from March through July. Now, on the other hand, if the 10-year continues to rise, which of course we could see if inflation continues to be a problem, and we continue to see numbers, like I'm going to read here in a second, about retail sales, then stocks are facing what's called the valuation headwind. And this is unlike anything we've seen in decades. And while that doesn't mean the market's ripe for a sudden drop, it does narrow the chances of any extension of the current rally that we just saw until these yields start to subside. All right, John, so I hope that helps. I hope that helps you get a little bit more focused. And as we were talking about the last few weeks, you may remember several weeks ago on this market segment, we talked about diversifying, pulling out some things and looking at some other things. If you missed that, go back and listen to the podcast in the market segment. Now, inflation's not slowing down. Why do I say that? Well, retail sales were pretty solid in July, and there really wasn't any material sign that the consumer is slowing down. The most important part of the number is the control group, and that is retail sales, less gas, autos, and building materials. The news there was pretty good this past week. As control retail sales rose 1%, it reinforced that the consumer was spending solidly in July. And as we just heard, some of the reserves that were on deposit are being tapped now, so that amount of COVID savings and stimulus and all that's getting shorter. So at one point it's going to eventually, hopefully, well, I shouldn't say hopefully, but probably will run out, and then it won't be so robust. But for the moment, the bottom line is there was almost no evidence of a slowdown in consumer spending despite the tightening of the Fed over the last 18 months. And while the Fed does not want to see the consumer spending stop, policymakers do want to see moderation in the sales data, and they want to see that consistent with easing growth and falling inflation. Not just one or the other. We've got to see it all together. So while retail sales won't make the Fed hike rates in September, it does make another rate hike likely before year end. And it also pushed the market thinking that the rate hikes will no longer occur in March next year. but then May. So now we've pushed that out a little farther, which just means that there's just going to be more pain for longer and nothing really is going to get done. So further answering John's question, this is just going to be more long and drawn out. I don't really see much more upside from where we saw about 2 weeks ago.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.